Praise God. Well, I'd like to teach this morning on the subject of our tests, our temptations. And for those of you taking notes, prayer helps us to overcome temptation or tests. Prayer helps us, or prayer is the key for us to overcome our tests, our temptations. Now, to think that you are not going to be tested, tried, tempted, is naive, because you are going to be. And the reason that you're going to be tried, tested, so that God can show you that in your salvation, in that redemptive work that he has started and he will continue and finish, is a perfect work. To be tried and tested, tempted, also proves to you that God loves you and that nothing will separate you from the love of God. Therefore, your temptations, your trials, as we know so often, are tailor-made in order for God to convince you, to show you by faith that you are his and that you will overcome and that you will make it to the end. The enemy tries to suggest to you and I that your temptations, you are going to fall. You are going to miss the standard. And you probably, in those areas of weakness in your life, where Satan makes it very clear that he knows, and he's going to come and test you and tempt you and try you, he tries to fill you with fear, with doubt, with unbelief, and that this time you're going to miss it for good. Does he not? Well, let's turn to the scriptures for comfort, solace, a building up of the faith. Now, turn with me, if you will, to Luke 22, chapter 22, the book of Luke. And here we see the story of Jesus. The night that he was betrayed, went into the Garden of Gethsemane, and there he prayed, he interceded. But something very significant was taking place there, because not only was Jesus agonizing in prayer, but like often found with Jesus, even in his weakest and darkest time of his earthly life, we find that he's still ministering and encouraging and teaching the disciples. We note that in verse 31 of chapter 22, here Jesus foretells of Peter's denial. And he says here in verse 31, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fails not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren." In other words, when you have learnt the test, come back and teach others. That's what he's really saying. Tremendous, that there. Look at the foresight of our Lord. Look what our Lord has learnt in the flesh. He has taken prayer seriously. And that is the key to this. Because he has taken prayer seriously, he sees it building up, it's approaching, the scene is being set before him, and he prays right in that situation. He doesn't panic. He doesn't allow the intellect to take over. He says, "Peter, I know what you're going to do, but I have prayed, I have interceded for you, that your faith fails not." And then he also speaks to the disciples of the conflict that is coming. And then we come to the scene in verse 39, which I really want to take up with this teaching. And in verse 39, he says, And he came out and went as he was accustomed to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. Notice where he goes the night of his betrayal. He goes to where he's accustomed. He goes to where he's comfortable. He goes to where he belongs. This is how it reads to us. Why the Mount of Olives? Because that is where he's going to come back. Mount Zion. It's signifying the church. It's signifying in the future what he's going to be head of. And when he was at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you enter not into temptation." In other words, you enter not into the test, because it may well defeat you. Satan knows your weakness, and he's there as a roaring lion to try to devour you. And it goes on in verse 41. "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and he knelt down and he prayed." Important. Because Jesus needed to go into the closet and meet his Father. But he said, "You two pray with me." "And saying, 'Father, if it be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done.' And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it was, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he arose from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them praying and interceding, sweating drops of blood, standing, confessing the promises of God." What are you laughing at? What are you shocked at? No. All too often, what we too battle as well. "When he came to them, he found them sleeping for sorrow." Sleeping because they were depressed. Sleeping because they were tired. "And he said to them, 'Why sleep you? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation.'" And there is the connection. That is really where I'm basing our teaching this morning. We see from that prayer is essential in order for us to escape the consequences of temptation, of trial. Now, God may allow you to go through a test, a trial. But the point is that if you are found of prayer, intercession, supplication before God, then the confidence you have, even in that testing, that temptation, that none will pluck me out of the hand of God. That God has me secure. And that is what God wants you to know in your hour of trial and temptation. And that is why Jesus prayed even the more earnestly, as it were, drops of blood, in praying, pressing through, touching God, so that Jesus could go to the cross in his flesh. Why? Because he too was being tempted. Tempted what? To escape. To go a different route. To go an easier way. Satan was trying to present the broad way to Christ. The same as he tries to present the broad way to you and me. You don't have to go through those trials. You don't have to wait for your healing. Why don't you go to the doctors? Why don't you take the pills? Why don't you have that operation? Why don't you borrow that money? All the while getting ensnared, held by man, control, the spirit of this age. He does exactly the same. How are you going to resist that? How are you going to say no in that trial? By prayer. By getting before God and being real before him. What do I mean by being real? I mean the fact that you get before him, say, "Lord, I'm exposed. Father, I am weak. Satan knows my weakness. He knows the area he can tempt me in. Please, in your mercy, show me that way of escape. I don't want to compromise." Now, if your Father loves you Is he going to turn his back on such a cry? Did he turn his back on his son when he was sweating those drops of blood before him? Why, certainly not. And he proved that by when he hung on the cross. That even though his father turned his back on the fact that he was bearing our sin, yet in the spirit he could never deny him and let him go. Because he was one with him. And this day you will see me in paradise. And God will do exactly the same with you, because you're one with him. What he's dealing with it in the flesh. But he isn't going to allow that separation, that oneness that he's made with you in covenant. Amen. He's not going to. But in order for you to know that, experience that, you have to be a man or woman of prayer. And you have to take your temptations, your weaknesses, your trials seriously before God. Our Satan does come as a devouring lion. This is why the Lord shows to us when the disciples ask for prayer, teach us how to pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. What was he revealing there in the principle of that prayer? That is what you're to pray. That is what you're to seek God in. You know, Christians who are bound with pride, with religiousness, are the ones who cannot see their temptations, their weaknesses, for they will never acknowledge them before God. And Satan's got them in their deception. The very fact that God weakens us often is to try and show you, you do have weaknesses. You will be tempted in that area if you do not seek the Lord with all your heart. You will fall. But those who are proud, arrogant, could never confess that before God. Never such a thing could happen to me, for I am of the seed of Abraham. Impossible. That was the Jews' problem. What is it saying in the book of James? Let's turn to the book of James. The book of James. James chapter 1. Verse 13 to 16. Let no man say when he is tempted or tried, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust, pride in other words, and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Now, how do you not err? How is it that you can keep free from that in that sense? It is by the fact that you are a man or woman of prayer, and you take earnestly your temptations, your weaknesses, you take them to God, and you touch him in that trial and in that test and temptation. That is it. We're all going to be tested. We're all going to be tempted. And the point is, are we going to give up or we're going to just compromise? Because there are areas in my life I just cannot get the victory. Well, I've got news for you. If you are the Lord's, everyone in this room has got areas you can't get the victory in. You have tried it. You've done all sorts of things. You've tried all different types. And one of the things that you've found is, oh, today I've heard the very message I need. Praise God, this is the answer now. I'm going to buy this tape, I'm going to get this CD, I'm going to play it 50 times because I know this is the message. And you go for a few weeks and suddenly, bang, you fall flat on your face again. And what do you battle? Despondency. apathy, depression. Well, I can't really believe God loves me. I really thought this was it. You know, we cracked it. This was the one. I know that message was tailor-made for me. It had my name in every sentence. We've all gone through it. We've all experienced it. We've all said to ourselves, here I go again. Whenever is this going to cease? Why is it I am so weak in this area? Why am I my own worst enemy at the end of the day? God knows all of this. And those very experiences that you're going through, those feelings of utter despair, is what God is using in order for you and I to overcome. And that is why James says that if you can understand that, even in the depths of despair, and actually turn that and worship God and count it all joy, you're beginning then to understand how God uses and works everything, as it says in Romans 8. We're all going to be tested, tried, tempted. Now let me read it to you in chapter 1 of James. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials or temptations. It says various. In other words, diverse. They're all different. Every trial, temptation is all different in this room or whoever's listening to this message today. What you're tempted and tried in, somebody else may not be, but they are in different areas. So he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the testing of your faith works patience. Here's this word, knowing. The idea of this word knowing means I have been touched by this. I know this experientially. It's like the knowing that I know that Christ exists. How do I know he exists? Because the disciples touched him, was with him, fed with him, slept with him, saw him. They knew from an experience. And here's the same thing. You need to know from experience through the temptations, the trials, the tests. From that very knowing, you can count it all joy. Now that makes a world of a difference. Knowing this, that the testing of your faith works patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, lacking nothing. Why does he use the word patience? Because it takes years sometimes to overcome your weaknesses. That's why. It's a lifelong walk. So some of you are saying to yourself, Pastor, you're actually saying that my trials and temptations are going to they're going to be a lifelong experience? Yes. Sometimes. If need be. Your trials, your temptations, in God's hands, are a far, far bigger plan of redemption than whatever you see. All you can see is that area of flesh you can't overcome. But God sees it much larger. Much larger. It's a huge plan. Our redemption. Our being delivered from temptation. From the weakness of the flesh. It's a huge plan in the hands of God. But the Lord is going to allow us to be tried, to be tested. And I know for some, that almost works a fear. Some of you are fearful of areas of temptation. Some of you are fearful of being tempted or tested because of the exposure or what others might think or what they might say. Will they reject me? And so on. I know, because I'm human. Well, Psalm 11, verse 5. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and him who loves violence, his soul hates. There it is. The Lord tests. I want to encourage you. It says, your Heavenly Father, who loves you and knows everything and more about you than even you do yourself, he says, I test you. Notice, it doesn't say somebody else tests you. He does. How about Psalm 7, verse 10? Psalm 7 and verse 10. My defense is with God, who saveth the upright in heart. So there we are. There's our defense, our trial. It is before God. It is before God. It's not before man. Man has no right to expose the weakness, the temptations of another saint. That is wrong. That is what psychology will try and do. It is a sovereign work of God. Your trials, your tests are before God, and God will deal with it in the way that he does. But the point is that if you don't seek God his way, then God does have a way of exposing. Because he knows what's causing that problem, which is pride. But the wise know this, and they prepare for tests. And the Lord is saying today, he wants you to prepare for your tests, your trials, temptations. And how do you prepare for it? Prayer. When you pray, and you take prayer seriously, and you seek God daily in your closet, that is a sign that you are a man or woman of wisdom, and that you're taking your tests, your trials seriously. That tells God, that tells the powers of darkness, you are prepared for the enemy when he tries to come like a roaring lion. Your prayer life is part of your armor, which we're to take up daily. We know in Ephesians 6 it speaks about the whole armor of God. But none of that can be appropriated unless you're also a saint of prayer. This is why so many Christians are falling and going under. Because they have very little prayer in their lives. The lack of prayer keeps us off guard. We see saints who were off guard. We know the story of King David. Off guard, sinned with Bathsheba. What was he doing? He wasn't praying as he should be. He wasn't diligent before God as he should be. He'd become slothful. He'd taken his mind, his eyes away from that which is first, seeking the kingdom. To seek the kingdom, to seek Christ, is prayer. It's part of it. How can you seek him? How can you really talk to him unless you have a prayer life? I've heard people say, oh, my time with the Lord is when I take the dog out for a walk, I go across the fields, it's all quiet there, and there I'm talking with the Lord. I'm sorry, but that ain't a real prayer life. And yet I've had many over the years say that. Oh, I'm so blessed. You know, I talk with my father, or they say daddy. No. It sometimes requires you to get into your closet and might be sometimes get on your knees, and you've got to sweat it out before God. It sometimes does require that. I don't ever read of Jesus talking to his Heavenly Father, deciding to take the sheep for a walk. Not at all. No, I've already touched on it, but taking it a step further, humility is essential in acknowledging that temptation could well defeat me. If you're humble before God, the areas that you are tempted, you're weak in, you will say to God, Lord, this could very well destroy me. These areas in my life, this weakness. You know that, and Satan knows that. This, I don't beat about the bush. This could destroy me. This could put me into hell. And that's why I need to talk it out with you. This is why I need to draw my strength from you. And I'll do whatever it takes. I'll remain before you. Sometimes it's a season he keeps us with this in his presence. We know that also when we get together in prayer. Sometimes God burdens us for a season where we're just praying it through as a group. And then suddenly we're through. It's lifted. You see? Because you have to take prayer seriously. So you have to acknowledge those temptations. You have to acknowledge that weakness in our lives. I know I say it very often, but man would not have fallen into sin. Adam, Eve would not have fallen into the state they did if they had acknowledged honestly before God what they had done. And that they had taken the responsibility themselves. Instead of in their pride, blaming each other in a sense. Which is what you see. It goes on everywhere. It goes on in politics. It goes on in families. It goes on with siblings. You name it. Everyone's blaming somebody else. Instead of acknowledging the fact, I am the fault. I have contributed towards this. You see? And we do. And this is the work that God's been doing with us over these years. Why is he breaking us? Why is he working humility in us so that we can overcome our temptations, our tests, the weakness of the flesh? And we all have areas of weakness in the flesh. Whatever you can think, whatever you can conjure up, they are weaknesses. That is why to overcome, this is a miracle. It's impossible. No man can walk this walk. No man can walk this. It's impossible. That's why Jesus said, narrow is the way, few there be that find it. Broad is the way, and many who go that route. Because it's easier. You can hide. When you go the broad way, you can hide. That's why these huge mega-sized churches preach mostly the broad way. Because you can hide in your hypocrisies. Your pride. You can follow God on your own terms. Make God in your own image. Which most sadly do. That is what religion does. But God sets the terms. He sets the conditions. He is utterly, completely sovereign. And so if you love the Lord, you surrender. You just raise your hands. Impossible. And that's what God wants you to hear. That's what he wants to hear from you. This is impossible. Because then you're acknowledging that it's down to the grace of God. Have you confessed areas in your heart? You know you will fall into temptation. Have you actually confessed that? Have you actually said that before God? Lord, I'm falling and I'm going to fall. Every time this comes up, I am going to fall into temptation, into test. It's no good me even trying to rise up. It's no good me even trying to confess or confess it or whatever it is. This keeps coming up and I'm going to fall into this again. And even as I talk to you and I'm with you in my closet talking with this you, with this, I know that next week when this comes up or whenever it happens, I'm going to fall again. Have you ever said that before God? I have. Because I've nobody else to talk to who can understand. I've known. I've confessed it. Knowing full well I'm going to fall again. You know it in your heart. Why? Because faith isn't there yet to overcome. So it's grace. It's this, what we see under Old Covenant. Those that were able, who were guilty, whether it be murder, whatever it is, if they could get to the horns of the altar and hold it, they were secure. They were safe. And that's what you're doing. Until healing, deliverance, change, enlargement of heart happens. What you are doing at that point, you have grabbed the horns of the altar. And that's the grace of God. You got there quick to those horns before that lion got there to try and destroy you. Satan. That's what you are doing spiritually. This is why prayer is so essential in our life, in our walk. Because your prayer time, your prayer seeking God, particularly in those areas, causes you to keep hold of the horns of the altar, which is deliverance, which is sparing you from the sentence of death. What's the promises? You know this one very well, and I expect most of you got this underlined. But let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Second Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So here it is. He says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly, that is the redeemed, the overcomers, out of temptations, out of temptings. That's what it means. And he's going to do it. He knows how to deliver you from that. You say to me, yes, Pastor, but how? Well, have you not been listening to the word this morning? Have you not been listening to what he's just saying? How he delivers you from temptation, from tests? One of the ways he's saying, get into my presence, touch me, pray, let's talk it out. There's one of the main ways. So we are without excuse. You can overcome temptation. You can overcome your trials. He says, come before me and touch me. And so that is why Peter could confidently say here, which he does, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Where did Peter get that experience from? I read it to you right at the beginning. The Lord prayed for him that his faith would fail not. And look, years later, how he writes it here. He's writing that because somebody prayed for me. And that is why it brings me to the second point as I bring it to its conclusion. It is essential that we pray one for another. That we encourage one another. We help one another. Is any sick among you? In James 5, 13, 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man like you, weak in the flesh with passions as you are. And yet he prayed earnestly. There it is. He prayed. There's the key. That it might not rain. And so on. And then he prayed again that the heavens would give rain and the earth bore forth its fruit. He prayed. Prayer. You cannot separate it. Christians that apostatize, Christians that fall into gross error, whatever it would be, you can pretty well guarantee it, they ain't got a prayer life. They're too busy. Haven't got time to pray. The only praying they do is when they go to church and meet with their brothers and sisters. That's their prayer life. That's not the prayer I'm talking about. I'm talking about personal one-to-one prayer with your Heavenly Father. That's the only prayer, that's the only commitment that's going to save you from temptations. It won't work otherwise. And yet you've got many who are escaping, excusing why they don't pray or haven't time to pray and so on, which simply proves they don't really have a real relationship with God. If you see a believer who has a real relationship, a closeness with God, you are seeing a man or woman of prayer there. That's what you're seeing. Now, God knows our situation. He knows your circumstances. As I always keep saying, He's made no mistake. But you can use any time, anywhere, to commune, to talk with God. That's why you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you can also speak in those tongues. You use them. Let the Holy Spirit train you. Let it become a part of you. That communication with God. And so on. And you will find in your work and as you're doing things and as you're handling things, as you're dealing with people, you will just find those prayers are quickly going up as well. Or just that praying in the Spirit is you just have to walk from one place to another, taking papers, delivering to somebody else or whatever it is. Just a minute, you're just speaking in tongues at that point. Or somebody asks you to do something and you're not sure how to do it. Father, He's asked me to do this. I'm not sure how I do this, but You do. Thank You, Lord. You will show me how to do it. That took less than 30 seconds, didn't it? That is a prayer life. That is communication with God. But that only comes out of your time in the closet with God. You won't get that the other way around. See? That is the point. And you will find that God is with you. That is all part of walking in the Spirit daily, overcoming. Or you see that person at work. And you realize today that that person is going to be in the room who winds you up. Or is a troublemaker. Here we go, Lord. Here's this person today. I thought we were going to have a day without this one, but here they are. Father, I'm going to fall today. I know this person's going to wind me up. It's just got to say something and I'm going to snap. I'm going to react. Father, please help me. Now, you haven't had time to rush off to the loo and get into prayer and intercession, but what you have just said to God has come as a result of the fact that you go into that closet and meet God daily. And there it's like God's given an angel, a special angel, over you that day that keeps your mouth shut. That's how He does it. That's how He does it. You've acknowledged the fact that that person winds me up. And it's wrong. It's wrong. I'm weak here. I'm weak. But Father, You love that person. You have overcome. And it may not work straight off, but just stay with it. And you will overcome. And God will put that love in your heart, which was not there before. I mean, I'm hearing just lately some testimonies from you, from people that you have found so difficult to get on with or work with, whatever, but because you've been seeking God in that way, and your heart has changed. Your heart has actually softened. And not only has your attitude and heart changed, but that person who was once your enemy has now become at peace with you. And you found you've started to be able to pray for them, which 6 months ago was a miracle. Couldn't stand them in your sight. There you are. Your tests, your trials, your temptations. Satan knows exactly the right person to plant in your path. That you would never look at in the natural. Never mind work with or talk with. So, you know, God is in control. But all of that comes out of a prayer life. It comes when a saint is taking prayer seriously. Because if you don't, you will fall into those temptations, into those snares. And as I read to you in James chapter 1, 14 onwards, and eventually the flesh will take over, and then it moves into sin, and then sin and then judgment. Instead of God being your friend, he's now become your enemy. God forbid. God forbid. So there we are. Peter confidently says, and as I've read there, that God knows how to deliver us out of every trial, out of every temptation. But remember this, that God is also our mediator, that high priest, and his prayers very often are prayers of intercession. Father, deliver them from the evil one. Cause not this trial that they go through to destroy them. I have prayed that your faith fails not. I am convinced that if Jesus prayed that over Peter, I know he has prayed that over my life and your life. Has he not? Has he not? And so if he has prayed that, and he's probably going to pray that or continue with that, you can confidently say here, the Lord knows how to deliver me out of temptations and to reserve me on that day, the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. I know that the Lord has preserved me and knows how to deliver me. You can put your name there. I, yourself. I do that sometimes with the promises of God. Because they're for me. They're for you. And that is what God has said. How is he going to do it? Well, he hasn't asked you to work that one out. He hasn't asked you to start to do it in your own strength. He hasn't said to you, well, you know, the only way you're going to get over this one is to fast 4 times a week. To be in prayer at least 4 hours in my presence, at least 3 times a week. See, that's what religious man would do. That's how he would try and work it out. No, the Holy Spirit has come to teach you and me. You do not know how to pray unless the Holy Spirit teaches you. You do not know how to confess unless the Holy Spirit has gone before and put that confession in your mouth. You are hopeless without the Holy Spirit's ministry. That is why he comes alongside to take over, to work with you. That you decrease, that he increases. You see? That is his working. That's what glorifies the name of Jesus. That is what lifts his name. You know, churches are today, oh, let's proclaim the name of Jesus. Let's lift the name of Jesus high, because in doing so, we shall draw all men unto him, i.e. the motive being evangelism. What they fail to get is that Jesus is lifted up when Jesus is in the saints. And there's a vast difference. And it is the Holy Spirit that is doing that lifting up. Through the working of the cross. Amen. Look at the huge difference. That's what will draw all men. Huge difference. Huge difference. Souls can only be saved by the power that raised Christ from the dead. Everything that is done in our lives, everything is done in this church, will be done by that very same power that raised him from the dead.
Glory to God.
Free, but not cheap. And that is it. That is why it is a lifelong walk. And those that remain, stay with it, endure to the end. God will bring you through every trial, every temptation, every test. Why? Because he delivers the godly. And it says he knows how to do it. He never ever makes a mistake. He will never make a mistake in delivering you from temptation, even though it looks an utter failure in the natural. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we can gain great comfort this morning from this. Again, you bear your heart of love out to us. Father, you have so preserved us, through the Holy Spirit, which is our sealing, the earnest of the Spirit. Father, we thank you that we have that assurance that we are yours in the palm of your hand. And Lord, there are trials, there are temptations, there are weaknesses in our lives, but we acknowledge that. We turn to you with that earnestly. We remain before you because you know how to deliver the godly out of our trials, our temptations. You have promised that. You have shown us you know how to do it, because our situation, everyone in this room and everyone who listens to this message, our situation is hopeless in the natural. It's laughable. But we walk by faith and not by sight. And so we thank you, Lord, for this. Father, we thank you that you will preserve us and keep us. You will be with us when we go out, when we come in. You will deliver us from the evil one, from temptation. Father, cause us day by day to go into your presence, to speak with you, to pray, to intercede, to be open and completely honest before you. And Father, you have promised you will do the rest. We thank you, Lord, for this, because that is the rest that we have by faith. You don't want us tossed to and fro. You don't want us bound in fear because of our weaknesses. Or I can't do this because if I do it, I'm going to fall into temptation. That just restricts us. It causes us to become inward looking. These temptations that we're aware of, these weaknesses that we're aware of, they cause us to build walls, barriers. We can't be real. We can't be real with each other, because temptation, weaknesses make us go on our guard. But you have provided the guard. That guard is Jesus Christ. It's the whole armour. It's not our doing. And there's the difference. That is why we can confidently say, whom the Son sets free, we are free indeed. And where there is freedom, there is liberty, and not bondage. And so, Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you for the way you are preparing us as your bride for the last day, delivering us, setting us free, until one day, Lord, you call each of us to come up. We thank you for this. Thank you today for this meeting, for making it possible. For we ask this in Jesus' name.